Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Want to know another Snapple fact? The first hot air balloon passengers were a sheep, a duck, and a rooster. Ridiculous. Check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavored Snapple near you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves. I'm here today with my dear friend Zach Peter.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's been a hot minute since the last time you were on my podcast.
I know. I mean, both of us. I think
Zach
we did a
forever.
Crossover. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back at our old downtown apartments.
Yeah.
And now we have big boy and big girl apartments.
Which is with crazy.
I know.
It's so cool seeing the progression of someone's career because, like, especially, I mean, it's awesome seeing someone blow up overnight, but we haven't really had the blow up overnight viral sensation.
It's been a slow burn, which I think is the better one because, like, when people peak, like, too fast and they don't appreciate it and they don't know how to sustain it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me a little bit about, because you're from LA.
Yes, born and raised.
So for the viewers that are new to you or haven't heard you on my podcast years and years and years ago, introduce yourself. Like, tell us a little bit about you.
My name is Zach and I'm single. No, I'm a podcaster, content creator, YouTuber, whatever adjective you would like to go with. But I have a podcast called No Fields with Zach Peter. It's all pop culture news, a lot of reality TV stuff, a lot of housewife stuff.
It is so good.
Thank
Zach, you. I'm not kidding you. I've been, like, obviously catching up, researching for this, having you on my show. And I, like, forgot how good your podcast is.
Oh,
like,
so sweet.
I'm not kidding you. I think I'm going to tune in every episode now.
Aww.
Like, you are not afraid to have a hot take, and I'm obsessed with it.
Yes, I am not afraid to have a hot take, and I will go all in, and I will stand very firm in my opinions. Listen, I just think there are too many people on the internet that are like, they pander, and they want to, like, especially in like pop culture reality TV world, like on YouTube and stuff, like they just want to be like, what is the audience going to like, and what's going to get me the most amount of views and clicks? And I'm just like, listen, I've been in the game. I've had No Filter now for 9 years. I'm in the longevity game, so I'm going to be me, and I want people to like me for me, and if they dislike me for me, that's okay too, because they still comment and give me engagement.
Well, your podcast is the true epitome of No Filter, because I feel like a lot of people have a podcast called Unfiltered like No Filter or whatever, like something of not having a filter, and you like actually don't.
I don't. It's and like, you know, impressive. You've heard some of my stories there. I just put it all on the table to a fault. But then here's the other interesting part that I've realized recently is because, you know, sometimes being in like the pop culture-y housewives world, the audience likes drama. And so sometimes they put us in drama with each other, like us content creators. And so there was an interesting...
with other entertainment people.
Or entertainment people or other content creator people that are in the same space.
Okay.
They'll pit us against each other, or they'll be like, did you hear what so-and-so said about you on their show? And did you hear... And so they'll engage in that drama. And there was an interesting like YouTube beef that I did have recently. But the funny thing was, is, you know, when this person was trying to spread... like stories about me and like my character, the audience was like, we know Zach, and I will own my messy, I will own my fuck ups, like I will own it all. And so they're like, and I was like, listen, I will own where I did wrong, and I will be like, this is the whole situation, this is what really happened, and here's, you know, where I can hold some accountability. And so it was interesting to see that like people didn't buy into some of those like stories that were being peddled online for that reason. But it's like, when you are just who you are authentically, yes, sometimes that's going to attract some criticism or negativity, but eventually, you know, people will see you for you, and they'll always believe you for you.
Yeah, which is so cool, because it's really hard to remain authentic, I feel like, in this world, especially if you like have a podcast, or you're trying to get those views, those clicks or whatever.
And like, listen, I still get Botox and put on fake tanner, like, you know.
We all do.
So, but as long as you own it, then you're still being authentic about it.
How did you build up to being so confident in who you are?
I think I had to just like go through the ringer so many times and get like beaten up online to eventually just be like, you know what? Fuck it. This is who I am, and this is who I'm going to be. I feel like the more I leaned in and put my heels down into who I am, the more people started to respect me. You know?
How did you do that?
I think it's just by putting yourself out there and going through the bushes and getting scratched and kind of just like learning that you are going to get, you know, equal amounts of love and hate. And you just kind of you realize none of it has anything to do with you eventually, as you kind of get both sides of it. The love as well, because I think so many people can get their ego caught up in the positive comments, but then the negative comments will like eat them alive, and you have to like take your ego out of it and just be like, listen, I'm putting out content, and the people that like it and will resonate with it will come to you, and they come to you with really good positive feedback of like, I've had so many people that listen to my podcast and they're like, listen, I don't always agree with you, but I respect that you stand in your opinion, and sometimes you've shifted my perspective. And I like that, because I always gauge success within, you know, YouTube or the podcast of like, is there a reaction? You know, if there are 2 comments, that's a failure. If there are 500 comments, and even if half of them are not positive comments, the fact that you're invoking a reaction in people tells me that I'm doing my job. Because that's what I want to do. I want to push conversations. I want to hopefully kind of shift people's perspectives, or at least open their minds a little bit, because I'm open to a dialogue, and I'm open to people that don't necessarily agree with me. And listen, I've had people that will show me other sides and different perspectives, and I'm like, okay, I'm glad I got to see that.
How did you get so confident, though, accepting that people aren't always going to agree with you? Because I feel like that's a lot of people's biggest fear, and that's what holds them back from being a content creator or putting themselves out there, is not being open to the 500 comments that could potentially be negative.
I think people are afraid of it, and so they run from it. I think that's where you get a lot of pandering. And I think for me, it was just by leaning into it. I think even from like being in like middle school and stuff, I always had a big mouth. I always had a big mouth and I never knew how to shut it up. And I just would always get myself into trouble. I remember even in like middle school, I created this like an Us Weekly, but for like our class.
Iconic.
I don't remember what it was called. I think
so
it was
like, oh,
I called it better. I called it the Z Zine. Like a magazine, but the Z zine. I think that's what I called it. And so I did it, and it was like on Microsoft Word with like paint, and it was like
word
those
art.
Chunky word art with the chunky letters
Rainbow
and all of
letters.
That. Yes. And so I did all of that. I was like, Stuart was seen crying at recess today.
Shut up.
Send in a tip if you know what the scoop is.
No, you did not.
Yes, I did. And then I got in trouble.
I got, Zach!
Well, I,
that's
listen.
Insane.
I got
you
in
were
trouble.
Gossip Girl.
I was Gossip Girl, but I owned Gossip Girl, and I was like, "Here's your issue of the week." But so I did
you
it.
You would print them off,
yeah,
and hand them out to your classmates.
I mean, there were like limited. It was limited edition,
limited edition.
Copies, and like you had to be like a subscriber on the inner circle.
Okay,
and that's really just me and my two friends. But like I got in trouble. The principal was not happy with it, but my teacher, our teacher, who was also like the division's English teacher, she was like, but listen, the creativity that went into, like, she kind of defended me. She was like, I don't support the gossip
okay,
side
love
of it,
her, yeah.
But, you know, like, this is actually pretty dope. Like,
yeah.
He's, what, 12, and he, like, created a magazine, and he, like, wrote articles, and I was like, yes.
Wow. I mean, that's super impressive, and it's hilarious knowing what your career is now.
Yeah. And listen, I was always in trouble for talking too much in school. So much so, I remember they had to separate my desk from the other students. Like, truly, like, isolate me on an island. And I'm just like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I still I made it work in the end. But to your original question about gaining confidence, I feel like I've always, because I always had a big mouth and because I always had a big personality, it always attracted some sort of reaction from people. And at first, I've just never been afraid of that. I think for me, I've never been afraid of conflict because to me, conflict always leads to resolution as long as you go through it. So people that are afraid of conflict are often robbing themselves of an opportunity to reach a resolution.
Wow.
I always describe it as like the fog. You know, when you're in the thick of the fog, you can't see what else is going on around you, but the fog is always temporary. It's always going to lift or you're always going to walk through it. But regardless, the fog is always temporary. So just keep moving through it and trust that you will get out on the other side of it.
I love that so much.
And even when it comes to criticism, one thing, like when I come across new creators that I'll start to collaborate with, I always tell them too, because like there was one friend that I have, her name's Donna, and she started a podcast, I think a little over a year ago now. And she was like in the thick of it, getting negative comments at one point. And I had seen some of it online and I reached out to her and I was just like, listen, I know it's heavy right now. I go, but you have to think of it like
this.
It's
really sweet of you to
think
reach
of
out.
It. Well, because I've been there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like anytime I see somebody going through that, I want to like let them know. Because
I need to be
when
better
you've
at that.
Been there,
it's
you
the worst.
Know it's hard and you take it so personal. Mm-hmm. And I told her, listen, you've had your podcast for a year. I go, think of building a thick skin as like going to the gym. Right? When you go to the gym the first time, you're not going to be able to lift heavy. And after your first round, you're going to be sore and it's going to hurt and it's going to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And that's how the gym is originally going to start. But
you're
eventually,
building muscle.
The more you go, the stronger you become and the more you build the muscle. And eventually, you're lifting a lot stronger.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I so
you
think just that's have a to great analogy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has there ever been a time in your career, maybe more towards the beginning, where you were getting this negative feedback and it did affect you or it started to affect you and you kind of it was your fog?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, obviously when they pick apart your looks, like it feels like it hurts, you know.
How do you get over that? Because that held me back a ton from uploading for a long time. I would film, I would edit, and I wouldn't upload because I would be like, I look ugly.
Plastic surgery.
Actually, is that
I think for me, you know, because I was blonde for the last 6 years. I just went back to my dark hair. And I feel like for me, when I went blonde, it was kind of just like a fuck you statement of like, I'm going to do what I want to do and I'm going to look how I want to look. And I'm just going to, you know, the blonde hair was more to like make me recognizable. So that way people always associated me with the blonde hair until eventually it got to a point where they didn't just associate me with the hair, but then eventually they like knew my name and were familiar with my content to the point where I was like, okay, now I can actually go back to my dark hair and, you know, not be as flashy. But I think for me, I think if you're doing any sort of like cosmetic enhancement, as long as you're doing it for yourself and it's making you feel confident and you're not doing it for other people, that's fine. I don't think we should do any sort of enhancements, like, because we want that validation. But I mean, yeah, the physical, when they pick apart your physical comments, like, it does hurt, but you also have to remember, like, these are, you know, people that feel ugly on the inside, or mm-hmm. they don't feel confident mm-hmm. in themselves. So they have to attack you, and they're going to go with the cheapest shots. I mean, or one thing that I also noticed too, is like, people will also throw out like really big, like strong accusatory words, like you're sexist or you're racist. And that's kind of like the new cheap shot of like making fun of your looks, because they know it's such a strong accusation to make against you that it's really just meant to hurt you more so than it is meant to foster
an
open, have an open dialogue and actually discuss, hey, there's something that you said that maybe, you know, triggered me in some way or mm-hmm. whatever. And so if it's promoting an open dialogue, that's one thing. And that's when I think you can take that in as positive feedback or constructive feedback. But a lot of the times people just want to spit out nastiness, and it's because they feel ugly mm-hmm. inside. And so you can't take that personal, because it has nothing to do with you.
Absolutely.
Like, that's what you have to remember. As much as we want to think everything is about us, especially like us, we put ourselves in the internet, we're like, everything's about us, we're so important, you know, we're famous, we go to Laurel Hardware and they give us VIP tables. But it's not always about, it's not about us ever, really.
Yeah. I, to your point about throwing out those insane accusations, the thing that pisses me off the most about that being a thing nowadays is that it undermines when someone yep. actually deserves yes. to be called that.
Absolutely.
Too.
It dilutes the argument, which is so wrong, because that is still real. Those
yes.
things still exist.
And it's sexism, still so horrible.
Sexism and racism, like, those things are real. And when you throw out a cheap shot like that, then you just, you dilute the entire argument. And that's unfortunate, because then it robs all of us of the opportunity to be able to fix those issues mm-hmm, or mm-hmm. to become aware of where those issues lie for us to give that the attention that mm-hmm, it needs. Mm-hmm.
You have done quite an incredible job building your career. And I would love to know what tips or advice you would have for someone that kind of wants to be in this space. What do you feel like has been a game changer for you in your career, other than not giving a shit what people think?
Game changer. I mean, I think it's really hard. You know, I remember even 2022, I did my first podcast tour, and that was really challenging for me, because we took everything off the internet and in person, because I had a history like organizing events and stuff prior to really leaning into content creation full time. I had kind of done a lot of like the logistics for the tour, and I'm also like super micromanaging, that it became really challenging for me. That I remember at the end of the tour, I remember just sitting down with my family. I'm like, I don't know if I would wish this life on any, but like, it's really hard. Like, you're putting yourself out there and you're getting lots of feedback. Some of it's really good, but then that can get to your ego, and some of it's really heavy, and that can really fuck with your self-esteem. And, you know, it's tough. So I don't often recommend it, but if somebody really does have the drive to put themselves out there, and they're willing to take, you know, everything that comes with it, the good and the bad, because there is a lot of good, but there is some bad, you know, I would say it really just starts with taking a step and putting yourself out there and seeing what's going to work and what resonates with you, mm-hmm. you know, whether that's starting on Instagram or starting on YouTube. It's just about taking the first step. I think too many people overthink it, and too many people try to think of like, what's the right thing to do, and how do I do this, and let me watch this YouTube tutorial and read this PDF guide. And it's like, just start, and you'll learn as you go. You'll mm-hmm. find your footing. It's like a baby in the swimming pool. Just throw him in and he'll learn how to swim. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think that is the number one piece of advice you yeah. could probably give. I agree. Yeah. Because
here's the other thing too, is people that talk about wanting to start are often the ones that aren't going to end up doing it.
You're wasting time by talking about it.
Yeah.
Just rip off the Band-Aid.
Yeah. And the ones that'll make it are the ones that rip off the Band-Aid, jump in, maybe drown a little bit and have to doggy paddle until eventually they teach themselves how to swim.
And you'll
they learn
cringe
through
at your old content.
Like, as you should. Yes, you should, absolutely, because that means there's progress being made. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing/time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place. If you were to start today with zero following, what would you do differently?
OnlyFans.
Are you serious?
No, I'm kidding. No, no, no. No, I just give my nudes for free. What would I do differently? I don't know. I feel like the game is so different now. I don't even really know the game from being in it for so long. Like, I remember when I started the podcast, like, podcasting wasn't a thing.
No,
it was 9 years ago.
Honestly, we both had a podcast before anyone had a podcast.
Yeah, like, before anybody really knew what they were or understood how to listen to them, I don't know the game enough now to start. I mean, I guess I would just start with picking one platform, maybe Instagram. You know, because I'm too old for Gen Zers. I'm not cool enough like you on TikTok. I mean, I do TikTok, but I'm like more of an Instagrammer, and I still will occasionally pop into the Facebook. But no, I would pick one platform and just try to build that up. Uh-huh. And I think lead with, at least for me, I would lead with my personality, because I think always lead with your strengths. Some people are really smart and they have a skill that they can teach. I'm not. So I lead with my personality. And I'm gorgeous, so Instagram.
Obviously, yeah. The filters, baby.
There you go.
And you're no filter.
No filter.
No filter was that.
Except for my photos.
Okay, can you talk a little bit about your podcast? Because I would love to talk about Housewives stuff with you, because
yes.
I am a huge Housewives girly.
Yes.
And I love talking shop with you.
Yes, it's called No Filter with Zach Peter. We now stream it live every morning, Monday through Thursday, with bonus episodes on Fridays.
That's insane.
Tell me about it. And then now I'm doing a new podcast called Disaster Daters, which is a limited show. But then there's another show that we have in development right now. But so I'm just crazy enough to take it all on. But No Filter is we recap the latest news and mostly reality TV, sometimes a little more generally pop culture, but mostly reality TV, Bravo, Housewives,
Bravo-verse.
All that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to BravoCon?
No.
Why not?
So I will go to events if there's a financial interest to go to an event. Listen, I support Bravo. I support BravoCon. It's a great fan event.
That's crazy they didn't hire you to be there.
We tried, and we were talking to Bravo for a minute, and they just decided that they wanted to go in a different direction with, like, the panels that they were hosting, which was fine, but I was very clear, and I even told my manager, I'm like, listen, if there's an opportunity, actually, I did end up going, well, not to BravoCon, but so Weight Watchers ended up reaching out and wanting to do a brand promotion in Vegas, and my manager's like, he's not in Vegas, and he's like, but would you bring him out? And they're like, sure. And so he calls me on Friday. The BravoCon started on Friday. He calls me on Friday and he's like, Weight Watchers wants to know if you can come and do a promotion with them on Saturday, which is tomorrow. He's like, can you be in Vegas tomorrow? And I was like, yes, give me that paycheck. So I'm very much like, because for me, as someone that's produced conferences in the past, like way long time ago, it's the events are so busy. That it's like, even as a content creator, you don't get to really create content. Mm-hmm. The Wi-Fi sucks at hotels, and you're too busy meeting everybody and talking to everybody that by the time you're able to put out that content, everybody else is doing, here's my recap at BravoCon. You know, that I like to, you know, at least if I'm in LA observing BravoCon, I can still cover the biggest pieces that are happening there based off of everyone's Instagram lives and what they're posting. I can cover it from there, which to me makes more of a financial interest, because then I don't have to make the investment of traveling there, but I can still make the ad revenue of producing the content from there.
It always impresses me when content creators, I was just thinking about this with the Super Bowl, when content creators capture the entire event and get it up like while they're at the event. I'm like, are y'all bringing your AirPods, which they are, bringing their AirPods during the Super Bowl, which is like thousands of dollars, like to be there. But like, your job is to capture it and upload ASAP.
So you either get to enjoy the experience, or you work the entire time and you don't enjoy the experience, you know? And that's kind of the conflict of what you have to choose. And so I like my bag.
Which, but it makes sense sometimes. Like, yeah. I created so many videos just being home because I wasn't at the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Because I had good Wi-Fi and I was at home and I could still, you know, I was still in touch with the news and what was going on.
Yeah.
But it's, I admire creators that get it up
like that at
the event because
it's a challenge.
It's a challenge. And bringing the AirPods like during a concert or during an award show, people do it during award shows. They'll bring their AirPods and be on their phones, which is so impressive to me.
Yep.
Okay. Anyway, so let's talk Housewives.
Yes.
Who is your favorite?
I actually just got a text from a housewife.
Shut up. Mm-hmm. Who?
I won't say it on camera, but I'll show you.
Okay. Oh my God. This is crazy.
You're going to die.
I'm literally such a fangirl of the Housewives. Shut the f up. No.
Yeah.
You have to tell her I'm obsessed with her.
But isn't that funny?
Zach, that is crazy. No.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah.
No, you're kidding.
No.
Guys, this is crazy. It's like one of the biggest Housewives ever. Just texted you. How often are you texting her?
We text pretty often.
Zach, that's insane.
But just text me wanting to grab drinks.
Okay, first question.
Yeah.
How many of the Housewives do you know personally?
A few of them. I don't like to get too close to them because it then hinders my job.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have those ones that you just end up forming really organic relationships with. And there are very few of those that I have really core, strong relationships with. Because then it gets hard because then it's like, I want to respect their privacy. I want to respect their trust. So then I can't talk about certain things on the podcast. And then, you know, vice versa. It's also hard when I watch the show and then have to comment on certain things. And, you know, I'm commenting about this person and sometimes, and I will be very honest about how I feel with the content that I'm given to report on, you know?
Well, has to be weird when you're friends with someone in real life, but then you disagree with something on the show. And like, they're going to see what you say and it could ruin a friendship, which you don't want to happen.
I think the relationships that I've been able to build are the ones that understand that that is my job and that I am not always going to agree with their behavior on the show. Yep.
Wow.
And they respect that. And there's a mutual respect of like, you have your job, I have my job. And at the end of the day, we can have drinks and like, it's all off the record and we're just having a good time. Yeah.
So who is that? Are you allowed to share?
No.
No.
No, those are relationships that I will keep, you know.
Okay. So what's your favorite franchise?
Beverly Hills.
Okay, why?
And Jersey. It used to be New York. Beverly Hills, I don't know. I've always loved Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I mean, this probably wasn't their best season. It wasn't a bad season.
I didn't love the season.
It was just, it had moments.
Yeah, it did.
Like Denise and Erica, great moment.
Iconic.
You know? So it had its moments, but it just kind of dragged for the most part. And there wasn't, you know, even the Kyle and Mauricio stuff, now that like the finale's aired and all of that, like we didn't really get much from them.
And Spain was like bleh.
Spain was bleh. They like cut out a whole day from Spain that they didn't even air.
It kind of gave nothing.
No.
Spain.
Except Merce in the Purse, which was hilarious.
Yeah.
But like if that's the highlight of the cast trip.
And Erica during the like ashes being thrown, like her just randomly bringing up like, it was like such a good, a sympathetic, like emotional moment. She was like, actually, I have beef with y'all still from
She's still mad at you. She's like, I'm going to let go of the fact that I hate you all for how mean you were to
me. Which like was so her. And I was like, this is why she's on the show. This is like why she carries, because it's so funny and out of pocket.
It's funny. I had her on my podcast back in October. And thank you. And she was telling us, she was talking about that moment on mic about how when they threw the ashes like came flying back. And she's like, me and Kyle just ran away from the ashes. She's like, the last thing I want is some dead man in my mouth. Same.
No, literally.
Same.
Okay, so your faves, Beverly Hills. And who are your favorites on Beverly Hills?
I think right now it's Kyle, who I think is the queen of Beverly Hills.
She obviously is.
Erica, who I think is having a great season. And I appreciate Dorit. She's kind of fallen a little flat for me this season, but I appreciate Dorit.
You know what? She's impressed me with her little one-liners in her interviews.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that was a good impression. Or like, oh, that was kind of funny.
Listen, she also gave us Homeless Not Toothless.
Yeah, which was the craziest.
My favorite. I went to see him, by the way. Because he's a cosmetic dentist.
The dentist.
Yeah, so I went to see him when I was considering getting Invisalign or veneers. And so I went for a consultation. wasn't a match. I ended up going to Dr. Gabe Rosenthal, who's doing my Invisalign right now.
Oh, awesome.
Love Dr. Gabe. He does all the reality stars.
Fab.
He did Ariana's teeth.
Iconic.
And I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, do my teeth. I was surprised he even took me on. I was like, oh, hi.
Yeah, she gave us those fun moments. The homeless, not toothless.
She gave us moment. The wind chime with Jamie,
yeah, with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Curtis. Like,
so
Dorit has good moments that she can bring. Her confessionals, like her cha-cha look in her confessional right now, she's serving.
Yeah. She brings like the style game to Beverly Hills. Like the, what the hell is she wearing?
Yeah.
Like her, like the wow factor with fashion. Like kind of how Erica did at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, where we were like, whoa, this girl's serving looks.
Yeah.
Like, Beverly Hills really invented the serving looks, I feel, right?
Yeah, the fashion, you know, which I think the other housewives can follow suit with.
Like, the confessional looks. Yeah. Like, that wasn't a thing until
I think Erica started that, because she would do the real campy sort of looks.
Yes. Yes.
But, yeah, I love Beverly Hills, love Jersey, and I love the OG New York.
Me too.
The reboot.
Who was your fave on OG New York?
I mean, it used to be Bethany until she like became this reality reckoning loser. And
see, I love Bethany.
I loved Bethany, but I'm like, I can't do her and her scooped out bagels with cottage cheese anymore. Like,
see, I
on
live
TikTok.
For it. I'm like, but I'm on TikTok all the time. You're not as much on TikTok, I feel.
I like going on TikTok, but I don't. I'm tired of Bethany. Like, she's over. She's too much at this point.
I still live for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I'm just such a Bethany fan. Like, I just love her and appreciate her story.
Yeah.
And like really how the empire she's built.
Skinny
and like
girl.
Her and her kid. Like, she really does love
Brent,
her daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's like cute.
Yeah. What's your favorite franchise?
I mean, I love Beverly Hills because we live here and it's fun to see like where they go and what they do. And like, they're ultimately in the entertainment world. Like, you know, their Garcelle like has a movie. Like, I feel like they understand our world, and that's what the conversations are about, which I'm interested in.
Yeah. I was at the white party.
Yeah,
Kyle's iconic finale white party.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
So are you going to be like shown at all?
I mean, you see me in like the background. I did have a few conversations with the women that night, and I think some of them were on camera. But no, it was more of just, I mean, that whole white party, the way they edited it in the finale, it's like so, like, you barely even see the party. Like, the party starts and then you see Kyle walk out. And I was like, there was a whole party before Kyle walked out. Kyle didn't come out till the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, I guess she was getting glammed and stuff. But yeah, she came out with her daughters towards the end. Mauricio was there the whole time.
Was the white party fun?
So fun. I mean, we're on SoFi Field. We're at SoFi Stadium on the field. Insane. I had no idea that I was going to Kyle's white party.
Yeah, you told me this. Can we talk about this?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so I had gotten invited to the Beverly Hills finale party. And I was like, oh, fun, a finale party. And I had gotten the details. And in one of the details,
how did you get invited?
From a cast member.
Shut up! Zach is just gatekeeping his connections right now. Oh, okay, a cast member.
Okay,
you got invited by a cast member to the Beverly Hills finale party. And were you kind of thinking this was like after the filming, or did you think it was going to be filmed?
No, I knew that it was going to be filmed.
Copy. Okay.
I just didn't click to me. It didn't register to me. I think I was like on tour for the podcast, and then it was like my brother's graduation party that morning, that my brain was just like not there.
Because when was the white party?
Last May.
It was, oh my gosh, almost a year
ago. Long time ago, yeah. So got invited, and then on my way there, I'm going through the details again, and I'm like, white party? And then I text my friend Andy, who I brought with me, and I was like, it says that it's a white party. I was like, that's weird. The only one on the cast that I really know that hosts the white party is Kyle. And I was like, huh. And it's at SoFi. I'm thinking it's going to be in like a little lounge.
Well, SoFi's so random. Like, I can see why you wouldn't connect the dots. That it
I was like, it's probably like some lounge there, that it's probably like a small party. Like, I don't know.
You would think the white party would be at Kyle's house.
Correct. Not at SoFi.
Yeah.
So again, I'm thinking, oh, Eric.
How did they pull that off?
Great question. I got there and I was texting my friend Andy. I was like, it says white party. I was like, I wonder if we're supposed to wear all white. And he's like, well, it is a white party. And he was like, what are you wearing? I was like, I'm wearing black and white. I go, I have black pants and, you know, a black and white shirt. So I'm kind of wearing white. So it like kind of blends in. And he's just like, do you want me to bring you something to wear? And I'm like, it'll be fine.
Shut up.
And so I get there.
How black and white was the top? Like, was it mostly white?
Here, I'll show you. It was it was white with, like, black.
You can't show it to Kyle's white party in a black and white top.
That's the shirt that I wore.
Okay, it's mostly white.
So it's mostly white, but it had, like, a black, like, design embellishment. Yeah, I'm trying to see if you can see.
You look really chic in that.
Thank you. Yeah, see, so I was kind of still in the...
Well, and your hair looks really good with the all white.
Yes,
or
my
like,
hair
you know
was
what I mean? It adds to it.
Super icy blonde. Yeah, yeah. So it kind of worked. And then luckily Andy was like, it's okay, I'll wear black pants with you in solidarity.
Solidarity. So you show up and you're like, holy shit, this is Kyle's?
I see everybody walking in and I'm like, this is a lot of people. I didn't go in yet because I was waiting for Andy to get there. And then I see the morally corrupt Faye Resnick walking right up and I'm like, this is Kyle's wife. I was like, it's now making sense to me.
You had like your That So Raven vision.
Yes. I was like, and then finally Andy gets there and I'm like, well, I'm texting Andy. I'm like, everybody's in fucking white. Like, this is the white part. I was like, this is it. This is it, the moment. And he gets there. And then, so we walk up and we check in at the front. And then we're walking in again, still thinking it's like at some lounge. And they're like, oh, okay, just go into the stadium. And I'm like, okay. And then I walk in and Andy's like, look at the field. And I'm like, what? And it was the whole day. I was like, the party's on the field.
Did it take up the entire field?
No, there's no way.
I mean,
it could.
Yeah.
It was too big. But so it took up a good center side of the field. Yeah, we had a long walk.
How many people were there?
Oh my God, so many. A few hundred.
Yeah.
Like it was a poppin' party. They had
awesome.
Like the cheerleaders there. I don't know sports, or I would tell you which team. But yeah, it was very impressive.
And who was there other than obviously the housewives and their families? Like, were there other celebrities there? Was it like the friends like Faye Resnick?
Yeah,
do you know what
Faye
I mean?
Was
like,
there. Camille came. Denise was there. Jeff Lewis was there. Cynthia Bailey from Atlanta was there. Yeah, there were a couple.
Were there any A-listers?
Rachel Lindsay was there. I don't think so. But it was, I mean, it was a very impressive party. Erica came out, she performed, mm-hmm. and it was a great party, a great night. It was funny because even at the end of the night, me and Andy, I was like, let's take shots. And he's like, okay, let's take shots. And so we go and we're looking for somewhere to sit. And there was only one table that was open. So we go and we're sitting at that table. And then we turn and didn't realize it was the table right behind all the housewives. So they're filming their final scene with us. And so people were sending me photos of like seeing us in the background. I was like, we're just casually taking shots right behind them.
Wait, that's hilarious.
It was funny.
I'm like, what's the insider scoop of the party? Was there any, like, when they were filming, was it obvious that the cameras were there or was it not obvious?
Yeah, I mean, the cameras were everywhere.
Did it feel like we're filming a party?
Yeah.
Not, okay. It didn't.
Well, so there's the party that's for the show and then there's the real party.
Okay, wait, what's the after party?
When cameras go down. Because you have to remember, when they're filming, they can't play, like, real music.
Yeah.
So
is it just like epidemic sound? Like
some of them don't have any music, some of the parties, and then some of them have like I guess it's like the stock music that's
yeah.
kind of just playing.
Epidemic sound, like
yeah.
what I put on my YouTube
yeah.
videos.
Yeah.
So were they playing like stock music?
Yeah. And then once cameras wrapped, that's when the real party started.
And did you feel like people let loose a little more?
Oh, completely. Kyle was all up on the Yeah, look, there's like my friend Andy dancing with Garcelle. And
oh
that
God,
was like,
she looks amazing.
Real,
looks
yeah.
amazing.
And at that point, they had like real music that everyone got on the stage and everyone was dancing. Kyle had the fan on her. Like, it was a good time.
Okay.
That
okay.
was like, and it's mics down, cameras down. So at that point, none of that's
everyone's
being filmed.
Everyone's letting
yeah. Everyone's ready
and
to
everyone
loose.
Is getting along.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there wasn't any fighting at the finale party. The only thing you could sense that there was. Tension between Kyle and Mauricio. They didn't show up together. He was at the party. She wasn't there for the longest time. That you can just sense there was a distance between them. And even I think they took like a family photo together. And I think even then, you could just tell like there was just something off with their vibe.
That's sad. What are your thoughts on Kyle and Mauricio and the Morgan Wade of it all?
I think they're done. Like, I just don't think there's...
Really?
Yeah. He, I think, likes to brush everything under the rug. And she's just like, we have issues and I need a separation. So he's kind of like, okay, we'll go work out your stuff. And when you're ready, I'll be here. And she's just like, no, I need you to step up. And I don't think he has that awareness of like, I need to step up for my wife rather than just like give her some space. Mm-hmm. And Morgan, I think, is a really good emotional support system for Kyle. I don't know if they're scissoring, but I low-key wish they were. They were just at Watch What Happens Live together, and Morgan, like, had her hand around Kyle's hip and was, like, rubbing her love handle. Not that she has love handles anymore, but, like, you know, it was just, it was interesting. Their dynamic is interesting. And then even they just released, Netflix released that clip from Buying Beverly Hills, the new season that's coming out, where he talks about Kyle wanting the separation and saying like they're allowed to date other people, they're free to date other people, and they don't have to tell each other about dating other people.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They just really, I was like, this is smart of Netflix is trying to capitalize off of the finale from Beverly Hills and promote the new season of Buying Beverly Hills, which is Mauricio's show.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So you don't think they're going to?
I don't think they're gonna
officially get back together.
No, I think they're done. It's just a matter of time.
Really? That's so sad.
I don't think so. I think they had a really long marriage. I think even Bethany said it, your fave. She said, you know, like they were been married for over 20 years. Like that in and of itself is a success story. You know, we see Erica tell Kyle that in the finale. Like that this
so
is
true.
A real love story.
Yeah.
And real love stories aren't always happily ever after. Mm-hmm. Love evolves. And if you're still able to be a family and still able to have that family unit, even though, like, look at Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin. Like
totally.
They're not together anymore. They've remarried,
still.
But they're still co-parents. Like the family unit is still mm-hmm. there, you know?
Who in the entertainment world or just in the world would you love to see Erica date?
Oh,
So she was dating someone during the residency?
She was dating somebody during the residency.
Did you know who?
She wasn't telling anyone.
Okay.
That was super tight-lipped. Who could I see her? I mean, I would low-key love for her to date Garcelle San Oliver.
That would be insane.
I know, but you know me.
You would live. Okay, so for the reality of
it
all.
I would do it.
Okay, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. No, there's. I have
that was the most absurd answer ever, Zach.
I have a friend who just went through a breakup recently, and his boyfriend, who I was also very friendly with, unfollowed me on Instagram. And I was so offended because in our friend group, I'm the only one that got unfollowed. Okay?
What?
All of our other friends, he still follows. And so I was like, oh, really? He wants to unfollow me? Well, you know what? Now I'm going to ask my friend out on a date and maybe I'll date him. And you know what? Since he's not following me, I'll make sure we all go out on double dates so that all of our friends post about it and he sees that I'm now banging his man.
There you go.
And I was telling my friend Steven this and he's like, that is so unhinged. You cannot do that. And I was like, but I have to do it for the plot.
You're here
and
for the
like,
plot of it all.
He's like, what plot?
Wait, I'm literally dead.
The plot of life.
The plot of life. You like to create
chaos. Yes.
Yeah, and conversation.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, so, besides Oliver, Garcelle's son, who realistically would you love to see her date?
Like a good, like, wealthy, successful businessman, you know?
Who's, like, not in the entertainment world?
Not in the entertainment world, not interested in the entertainment world, because I feel like Tom liked the fame. Tom liked to be front and center. He liked to, you know, rub elbows with celebrities. She needs somebody that's just not in that world and is not interested in that world. Mm-hmm. You know, someone that doesn't care to be on Housewives, that'll let her do her thing. But at the end of the day, their relationship is their relationship and it's private and mm-hmm. it's for them. Mm-hmm.
You know what? I totally agree with you for a realistic relationship with her, for her.
Who
a
you
non-realistic
ship her with.
Relationship
yeah.
I would love for her to have is someone... Like, I want her to feel like Kylie, the way that Kylie felt at the Golden Globes, where she was, like, Timothy's girlfriend.
Yes.
Like, I would love to see her date, like, a rock star or, like, an actor. Like, someone, like, that just ruffles all the other women's feathers. They're like, Erica's dating. You know what I mean? Like, someone so, like, famous and in the scene that almost makes Erica, like, not toned down, but just, like, puts her in rooms that she would never otherwise be in. Not never, but you know what I mean? Like, puts her in those, like, Oscar, Golden Globes, Emmy rooms where we can, like, she can still serve looks.
Yeah.
But she would think about, like, the conversations she would have on the show. Like, her being like, yeah, I'm friends with blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah. We would be like, oh,
yeah.
That would be crazy.
That would be great.
Yeah. I just would love to see her, because she's always been the star and, like, the center of attention in their relationship. And I think it would be so interesting to see her take, like, a, you know, passenger seat.
I don't know if she can do that, though. I think she likes being the center.
Probably, yeah. But I think it would be so interesting to watch. This it is just would for be. My...
Imagine seeing Erica at, like, the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be insane? Remember, like, when Kanye started bringing Kim to, like, the Met Gala?
Yeah.
That was wild.
Yeah. What if one of them dated Rob Kardashian?
No.
That would be crazy.
Poor Rob.
I know. Love Rob.
Bless his heart.
Mm-hmm.
I want maybe Scott Disick.
I could see it.
Remember when he was dating Amelia Gray?
Yes.
Lisa Rinna's daughter?
Yes.
Or Delilah Bell. It was one of them.
It was Amelia. Yeah. Who is Scott dating now?
Himself.
Okay.
I don't know who I don't think he's dating anyone right now.
I don't think so either, because he was Sophia
I don't know
Richie.
What's going on with him when the Kardashians aren't on the air.
Yeah, true. Yeah, don't keep up. Okay, so that's who you would see Erica with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who do you think is the most overrated housewife?
Of Beverly Hills?
Yeah.
Garcelle.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
I just think she doesn't give us much. She's such a fan favorite, and I think it's because her and Sutton, you know, like, went after Erica during, like, the legal stuff, and everyone was like, you know, everyone wanted Erica to be guilty, yeah. And so everyone was kind of rooting, like, salivating over that storyline, because they were asking questions and they kind of were pushing, you know, pushing the narrative. But I think with Garcelle, like, we haven't really, this season I feel like we got a little bit more of her, like, parenting and her kids and her kind of struggling to raise the kids as they're getting older and wanting to live with their dad. I appreciated that. And even Sutton, I think, has had a lot more storyline this season. But I feel like outside of that, like, they haven't given us, like, we've seen what Garcelle go on Bumble, and that's been her storyline in past seasons. Like, yeah. You know, and even when it comes to, like, conflict, I feel like Garcelle will stir the pot with other people. But then when the conflict comes to her, she kind of, like, deflects and, like, doesn't really lean into that conflict. Mm-hmm. When it's like, if the housewives are willing to get messy, and I know Garcelle has it in her. I see the potential in her, because we know when her husband cheated on her, she sent out that email, and it took us 4 seasons for her to talk about it on the show. And I was like, I know it's in you, Garcelle. You can get messy, and I want to see that side of her.
Yeah, that would be iconic as hell. I also know that she is definitely, like, in the scene. She's in the entertainment world. Like, I would love to see her, like, name drop a little more.
Yeah.
Like, talk about, like, what it's like making a movie. Like, I want to hear that, because I feel like that perspective, like, a lot of the housewives can't bring, because they're not as in the scene as she is and has been, like, her entire life. Like, mm-hmm. She's really grinded to be an actor, to be a producer, like, to do all these things. And, like, that's the point of LA, is that, like, you can bring that entertainment flair. Is there a city that doesn't have a housewife franchise yet that you would love to see?
I think we have too many.
Really?
We have to start killing them.
Who do you think needs to go?
I think we need to let New York die. The reboot is not giving.
Really? Do you like anyone on the reboot?
I mean, Erin Leachy's kind of interesting. But, like, everyone, that's who was overhyped, was Jenna Lyons.
Oh, see, I like Jenna Lyons.
See, everybody loved Jenna Lyons. I remember I did an interview with Access Hollywood, and they were like, do you want to see Jenna Lyons come back? And I was like, no. And they were just like, really? And I was like, no. And she's not coming back. I was like, there's no way she's doing a second season. She hates this job so much.
It's definitely, you're coming from the perspective, though, of she's not a housewife.
Yeah.
This is like a glimpse of the reality of her life. Like, this is more like a reality show versus like her being a housewife.
Right.
Like, she's not playing the housewife game.
Right.
Which you want her to play.
Yes.
And of course, I would love her to play too, but she doesn't give a shit and she doesn't have to, because she is Jenna Lyons.
Yes. That's the hard part when you have somebody like a Jenna Lyons that is so successful and that doesn't need the show. Like, they won't give anything because they don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
Diana Jenkins, on the other hand, I know people hated her, but, like, she did not need the show, and she came in hard. She was ruthless
she
and
did.
Toothless. Yeah, like, she had no shame. She was
ruthless
just
and toothless.
She went hard.
Yeah, she went so hard. Why did she go that hard?
She didn't need it. I think because she had nothing to lose. Yeah. I don't know.
Did you?
She's like, I don't drop bombs. I drop nukes. looks.
Yeah, she does. Do you like Rinna?
I love Rinna.
I love Rinna, too. Rinna's I miss iconic. Her.
We need her back. That's why the season was boring.
It's kind of a flop of a season, I feel. I've just been waiting for the...
Mm-hmm. I mean, when we have a whole storyline of Sutton buying a horse. I enjoy Sutton, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm tired of Santos.
I agree.
Santos got too many scenes.
I'm like, was this is the same season that they went to Vegas and did Magic Mike, right?
Oh, yeah.
See, that I felt like was good.
Yeah.
Those few episodes.
Like I said, you had those moments at the beginning of the season. Vegas, Erica versus Denise.
It's like the middle has been a huge lull.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so what
else? Have you seen Denise Richards' OnlyFans?
No.
Listen, I'm just glad that she raised her prices from $7 on the show and now she's charging $20.
As she should.
Good for her. Listen, that I'm not shaming Denise at all. I think she should own it. But I'm also just like, but then like, be that Denise that owns it. You know? Don't be like prude Denise on the show and then on
OnlyFans. I do agree with that. Like just embrace it.
Lean into it.
Yeah.
I ate out Brandy Glanville and I loved it. You know? Like just own it.
That would be iconic as hell.
Her and Brandy could do a collab.
I would love her to come back as a housewife. I loved her on Housewives.
She's great as a friend of now because she's such a hot mess. But she was not a great house. Like, her second season...
Bravo, bravo, bravo.
...was iconic, but it was still her... Like, she tried to send the cease and desist. Like, if Bravo hadn't leaned into that and, like, really broken the fourth wall that season, like, she was not a great housewife in the sense that she wanted to censor everything. She wanted to hide her life. She didn't want to engage in the conflict.
Totally, which I loved why they leaned into that, yeah. I guess. That's
they didn't
probably...
have any other choice.
Yeah.
And that blew up because she thought that she was going to get away with it.
Stirred the pot with her, I think, if I remember correctly, was Teddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's who she should have been mad at instead of Erica this season.
Yeah, literally. Okay, so back to New York. You like Aaron a little?
I like Erin. I think she's interesting. She's pretty and she's interesting. Bryn's kind of fun. I like Sai. I know people hated Sai. But I enjoyed Sai just because, I don't know, she just brought a fire to the show that, you know, she got the other way. Bryn and Sai are the two that I think got the other ladies to, like, stand up.
Uh-huh. Sai is similar to you in that she will say exactly how she feels and thinks. Like, that's probably why you respect it, because you're like, respect. Yeah. Like, I respect it. I don't always agree with her, but I respect that she's standing up for herself or standing up for what she believes in.
Yeah.
So do you think they need to get rid of New York completely?
Yeah. I just don't think, I mean, if... I feel like with this cast, they should have just built an entirely new show outside of Housewives. Like, the Housewives franchise, I don't think rebooting them is going to keep the longevity of the show, because I just don't think, like, the show that is Roni now compared to the show that was Roni that had the original audience, they're two completely different shows, and people fell in love with the original for very different reasons than I think they would care about the reboot. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the reboot, people only watched it because it was supposed to be the Roni reboot, and then we realized it just wasn't Roni at all. Like, there's nothing about it that had
it that. It doesn't even feel like, you're exactly right, it doesn't even feel like Housewives,
so
really.
So my thing was just, like, call it a different show. Like, I really enjoyed Real Girlfriends of Paris, or In Paris.
Okay, I haven't seen that.
When they had that, nobody saw it, but it's because they didn't really promote it, but it was a younger cast, it was more of, like, Housewives meets Vanderpump, because it was all of these younger people trying to establish themselves in this city, which to me also would be so great in, like, that's what we loved about Vanderpump, is they were all trying to be actors and musicians and they all wanted to be famous, but they had that hunger for it, you know, and they were scrappy, which is similar to Real Girlfriends in Paris, because they were all young trying to build their careers.
I need to watch this.
It was actually really good. It was short. It was good. And I feel like it had so much potential, and I feel like that's what should have been, like, the next extension of Housewives, are these Real Girlfriends shows where, I mean, seeing young women trying to make it happen in New York, like, that's why we loved Bethany. As you said, we saw her come up and build herself into something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's part of the reason people really like Stassi, is we really saw her go from, like, this really bratty, entitled girl on Vanderpump Rules to eventually we saw her getting, like, settled down, get engaged.
Character
now she has kids. She built this podcast empire for herself. She wrote 2 New York Times bestselling books. Like, character development. You know, we see the full character arc and we see them, you know, come up.
Mm-hmm. What characteristics do you think make a great housewife?
Money. You need to be affluent, because when we see these broke housewives, like, listen, a Monica Garcia is good. She brings something to the show. But we watch the show for the unattainable lifestyle that we don't have.
Exactly.
It's aspirational. Mm-hmm. And so I think they need to have money. They need to be willing to, like, not hide anything about their life. We see a lot of housewives come in and they don't want to put their husbands on. They don't want to put their kids on, which I understand respecting their privacy. But it's also like, then don't do housewives, because we want to see you as a real housewife.
Yeah.
You know? And so even though the drama within the interactions with the other women are fun, we want to see your personal life. We want to see, and it has to be interesting. Like, I'm sorry, Crystal on Beverly Hills, her life is boring. I don't care about her brother, you know?
No, sweet I agree.
Sweet guy.
She seems really, I actually have heard, like, in real life that she's really nice.
Yeah.
But on the show, I'm like, girl, you are living this insane life. Like I want to hear about, like, the other films your husband's
making.
Her
husband is a Disney director.
I want to talk about, like, you wanting to potentially act in his next film, or I don't know. Like,
or you ran into this actress and she was a total bitch to you. Like,
give me the A-list.
I mean, listen, drama. I do love, and I think it was more so her first season, I loved that she brought us into the Chinese culture a lot.
Totally.
I loved seeing her cook. I loved seeing her invite the other women and share that culture. I like that side of Housewives, too, and I like that we are making the show's more diverse. Or Garcelle, when she had that Haitian dinner.
Yes.
I like exposure to that, because we don't often have that exposure to other cultures, and I think when we see it on television, we get to be a part of that.
Absolutely.
So I like that side. I feel like we've gotten away from that with Crystal too, but it's also like, you got money. And Taco Tuesday that she hosted was like so low budget. I was like, what is this? I could host a better Taco Tuesday. Like, you got money. Like, Rob can make it happen. Like,
she doesn't really
bring
have
it.
Yeah, she doesn't really have that, like, insane side to her like Dory is, like, with her clothes.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, Kyle is with her family, or Erica is with her shows and stuff. Like, I want to see, like, what is Crystal insane about? You know what I mean? Like, is she insane about healthy food? Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, just something in her life.
Just a little bit of passion out of her.
Yeah, just a little bit of more.
Yeah,
a little bit more.
What sparks joy in Crystal?
Nobody totally knows.
Yeah, I've met her, and she's been very lovely to me. She has me blocked on Instagram.
What? Why?
Probably because I say she's boring.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've heard in real life that she's really kind and awesome.
I really liked her in...
And same with Sutton, I've heard that.
Yeah, Sutton's lovely. Sutton is very lovely and has always been very kind to me.
Has anyone ever been really rude to you?
You know, I will say Kyle was not the most nice to me at the white party.
Really?
I was surprised. Like, listen, I've had my critiques. Like I've said, Garcelle's overrated or Crystal's boring. So I was expecting them to ignore me at the white party. They were both very lovely. Both approached me,
were very nice
to me, and which was very sweet, especially because, like I said, Crystal has me blocked on Instagram, but it's because I think she's boring. Kaya was the only one that I approached her, and I was like, this is a lovely party. Thank you for the invite. I think you had a really great job. And she was like, And I was surprised because Kyle, I would not expect that from her.
I know, it's sad.
I haven't even said that on my show.
She's not warm and fuzzy.
No, she's not.
But I love her so much.
I'm like, somebody get her some tequila.
Yeah, maybe she has social anxiety.
Yes, I think so. I wish we could get a little more out of Crystal, because I feel like the potential is that when she was in Vegas and we saw her on stage and she was dancing with Erica, and then she gets off stage and she tells Crystal, she's like, bitch, you should have brought your pants. You're missing out. I was like, I like this fun, spunky side of Crystal.
Totally. I also really liked how after Erica brought up her random, like, I actually am mad at y'all still during the Ash moment. I actually liked that Crystal, like, was straight up with her and apologized.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
I thought so too, because it's like she didn't have to.
I wasn't expecting that at all.
No. And that just shows, like, Crystal does have a really human side, you know? And
like that, I felt like that was a really good moment for her.
Yeah. Or even Sutton. Sutton eventually was like, listen, I think I caused you a lot of harm, and I think I caused you the most harm, and I'm sorry. Garcelle was like, I'm not apologizing. I have an opinion, and I stand by it. I'm like, good, but also when somebody's crying in front of you and saying you hurt their feelings, like, you could have a little bit of humility in that and be like, listen, that wasn't my intention. I did have an opinion. I stand by my opinion. But you know what? Maybe I could have been a little more empathetic.
Mm-hmm, totally. Who are the nicest housewives you have met?
I mean, they're all kind of the same. I had a lot of fun with Teddy and Tamara in Vegas. Erica's always been incredibly kind to me. Rin is pretty fun. Yeah, I feel like a lot of them, I mean, I haven't had too many bad interactions with housewives.
Have any of them ever DM'd you being like, hey, I didn't appreciate you saying this? Or like, do you know what I mean? In reference to you, like, speaking about the show?
No. They DM me nice things or they DM me tea, but they've usually, if they don't like something I've said.
Oh, they'll, like, spill tea for you to talk about?
I've had housewives spill tea, yeah.
Like, they'll send you, like, a blind item type of thing. And you never reveal who it is?
No.
Interesting. And do you encourage that? Like, do you want them to send you tea?
Depends, because sometimes, and I don't always reveal the tea, because sometimes I'm like, oh, this is an agenda to plant this story because you want this housewife to look bad or whatever. You're Got trying it. To create this narrative about this other person, and I'm not going to be a pawn in your game. If you have good tea to give me and I can use it and it, you know, is beneficial in some way, sure, but I'm not going to, you know, be the pawn in the game.
Okay, I see. I think that's really cool of you that you're not just going to play their game.
Listen, I'm playing a bigger, smarter, longer game. Mm-hmm. And cheap, low-budget tea is not in
cheap,
my...
low-budget tea.
Yeah. Listen, there are enough people out there that are putting that out there.
Are you a Salt Lake City person?
Oh, I love Salt Lake.
Who's your fave?
Lisa Barlow.
Oh, my God. I mean, she's iconic.
Yes. I love me some Lisa Barlow. Love Meredith. Meredith's always been very sweet to me. Uh-huh. She's been very kind and supportive.
What did you think about the whole Monica running the... reality Von Teese.
I think if she was going to come on the show and do that, she should have just opened up with that at the top of the season. Be like, listen, guys, I have to own. I was part of this account. And like, let that be part of the story.
Do you think Bravo knew about it?
Yes and no. In the sense that, like, I mean, I've been part of so many different like casting things that it's like, where she's like, I told the producers from the beginning that I ran this account. But it's like, there are so many people at the bottom that run the casting side that when they're interviewing you for, you know, multiple hours, they have all of this footage and they have to condense it down to like a 1 minute sizzle that they then take to the network. And then the network decides whether or not they want to move forward with this person. Mm-hmm. So in that 1 minute edit, they're only going to go with what the most interesting part of Monica's story is, which was her connection working for Jen Shah. I don't think they cared that she was part of some troll account,
Got it.
And then the network probably didn't really become fully aware of that. But if you really went through all of her folder, you probably would have seen that. But then they trust the casting department to do their job and vet these people. Mm-hmm. And so I think it just kind of moved through the chains and nobody really gave it too much attention. Mm-hmm. You know, even when people are like, oh, well, Jen Shah sent her a cease and desist and they had a copy of the cease and desist. And it's like, yes, but in what world do you think that they're going to be like, oh, let's check the names of who Jen Shah sent a cease and desist to? You know, Jen Shah sent them so much stuff that like they're not going to really take her word that credibly.
You have to be an insane person, I think, to run that type of like mean account. Yeah. About the people you're hanging out with.
Yes.
That's insane.
It's insane to sit there. That's like if I was running a troll account and I'm sitting here taping your pod. Yes.
Yeah.
And that would be
like the insane level of mean girl.
Yes. Not just mean girl, but just like sociopathic in a way.
Yeah.
Because like you even see she goes into Meredith's store and she's like, wow, this is the first time I've ever been here. Flash forward to the finale. We see a clip of her in the store the night that the clutch was stolen from Meredith's store.
I wouldn't trust a thing that woman says. And I do not understand how people are defending her.
No. I mean, I can understand them being like, she's a villain and we stan a villain. Sure. But like... no, you can't defend her.
Her actions and her behavior.
They were also
and, like,
comparing her to like Jen Shah. And they're just like, well, Jen Shah stayed on the show. You know, I was like, first of all, Jen Shah's in prison now. She's not on the show anymore because she eventually was done.
And you know they would film if they could. And she would too.
Yeah. Well, but the thing is, they stopped working with her. Once she pled guilty, they disinvited her from BravoCon.
Oh, really?
She, Andy, I think, invited her to do like a one-on-one sit-down. She wanted to get paid. She also wanted them to film a documentary about her like final days leading up to prison. And they're like, we're not going to do that.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I think, I don't know. I think they have some sort of moral compass now.
Well, I feel like they have to. They have to have some.
It'll be interesting to see what they do with Tom Sandoval, though.
See, I'm not a Vanderpump person. I need to watch.
You need... Well,
do I start from the beginning?
Yes.
Really?
The first couple of seasons are so wild. the first couple of seasons, I think, are the best seasons. And then there are episodes from other seasons that are good.
Okay.
But for the most part, I would say like the first three seasons, wild. Four seasons.
Okay, I need to watch.
Wild.
You're inspiring me. If you were to recast Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. who would you want to see on it?
Ooh, I would want to see like Carmen Electra on it.
Oh, I would love that.
She just told Kyle, yes, what was it, that she would scissor her.
I mean, that would be iconic if she was on it.
I know.
That'd be really
I don't
cool.
think she would ever do it. I like Carmen Electra.
Also, that would be such an interesting dynamic between like the NBA wife of it all or yeah. the NBA girlfriend of it all with the Larsa and yeah. Scottie Pippen and the Dennis Rodman and the Carmen Electra.
That's one thing. Have we ever had an athlete's wife on Beverly Hills? Athlete's wife?
I don't think so.
No. We get them a lot in the other cities.
We need a Laker player or something.
Yeah.
That would be what if they got like LeBron's wife? She would never.
Oh, that would be great.
That would be so cool.
Even Kobe's wife, Vanessa.
Oh, that would be.
Could you imagine if we had her on there?
Oh my God, that I would literally pay my own money for her to be on there to donate to her salary.
Did you see the Kobe statue in downtown?
So incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so who else would you cast?
I want to bring, listen, I love like the messy ones. I love Brandy Glanville. I want to bring her back. Kim Richards, talk about ruthless and toothless. Like,
love.
She was.
Love Kim.
Wild. Have you seen her cameos? Oh my God, they're the best.
Oh, her like the app.
Yeah, on the
no,
app.
No, I haven't.
She'll send like 9-minute cameos and she's just like ranting with the birds in her backyard. I'm like, oh, she's really lost it. Who else would I like to see on? I mean, we need someone like a Carmen Electra. I think we need, it would be kind of nice to see maybe like someone that's a little younger that's more in this like digital content creator
yeah,
world
like,
that can come in to kind of like threaten the older egos of like.
Totally.
You know, because you always have to have that Joanna Krupa that comes in and like wants to, you know, and then the other women feel threatened because it's this young, pretty blonde. Like, I think that was like Brandy Glanville season 2 and 3.
Yeah.
That's why they were so threatened by her is because she was this young former model. She's now a single mom. She was just scorned by her husband in the press. Mm-hmm. And
what about like the Skinny Confidential?
Oh, my God. Lauren. I love Lauren.
What if
she would
Lauren
be great.
Was a housewife?
I think she would be great. The hard part, though.
She doesn't live here anymore, though.
I know. They're in Austin now.
Yeah.
Love Lauren and Michael. Lauren would be a great housewife, but I feel like the hard part when it comes to influencers like Lauren, and I do love her, they're so curated that I think they would curate themselves on the show as well.
Yeah.
They're so used to being in full control of their content.
And like, almost like branding themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think going into it, whether it's their confessional, whether it's their outfit, whatever scene that it would be, there's always a strategy in it.
Totally.
And those are the housewives that don't. Brandy Glanville was great because there was no strategy.
She was unhinged.
She was
as
just
hell.
Her. You never knew what you were going to get from her. She's throwing wine at Elaine, at Eileen one day. And like, it was just.
You almost need an influencer that like blows up out of nowhere and then get them on the show.
Yeah.
That like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Isn't as strategic.
Yeah.
What about like a Tana Mojo?
I think she would be great.
That would be crazy.
She would be great.
I think that would be really good.
Yes.
She would definitely ruffle feathers.
For sure.
Yeah. She'd be like
you
the
need
new
someone,
Erica.
Yeah. You need someone that's like, that has that like feisty, fiery personality that's not afraid to, you know, challenge the fray, that's not afraid to ruffle some feathers. Yes.
If you were to cast an influencer version of Housewives, who would you want to see on it?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, but again, I just don't think influencers work as reality stars, so I don't think I would want that show. There was a show, though, and we'll see if it ends up coming to fruition. There was a show that I was working on, like part of the cast.
Okay.
That was kind of like digital creators. And I don't know, I can't say too much about it because they're still trying to make it happen. And they're casting it right now. And they are, they're recasting it because we had a cast and we're moving forward with it. And then it like got put on pause and now they're picking it back up again. But I think that would be interesting. I think we can, you have to have the right types of creators.
So who would you want to see?
I don't know. Who would you want to see?
I mean,
I would want like a Vanderpump version, not a Housewives version.
Yeah, it would definitely like, have to be like a new name.
Yeah.
A new, I'm like, it would have to be like baby
but I think
housewives.
But I think like the Housewives model is like older, out of touch, sort of like that mold of like these super affluent, you know, women that are kind of just like stay at home. Whereas I feel like influencers have a bit more of a hustle and an active social life that you would need like a group of like, you know, you would need guys and girls. You need like a Harry Jowsey in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, love Harry.
I love Harry too.
Have you had him on this podcast?
Reality. I have.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
He's great.
He also just signed up with Unwell.
Listen, I love Harry, but I'm like, take a podcast off the ground. This is the fourth one he's tried to launch.
Wait, really?
Yeah, he's tried to launch them before. I'm like, Harry, get it together, boy.
I love him.
It's funny. You know, I had him on my podcast and he talked about how he has threesomes with like his guy friends and stuff. And then I was telling the story to my friend Jeff. His name is Jeff Epstein, who you know because we host the Disaster Daters podcast together.
Which I was just on, which yes. Y'all should go listen to.
Yes. And I remember posting a photo with Harry and Jeff's like, who is that? And I was like, oh, his name is Harry Jowsey. I go, and he bats for both teams because he talks about it on my podcast. And so Jeff slid into his DMs.
I didn't know that. Does he really?
That's what he said on the podcast. He's like, okay. I don't think he's like act. He said he would be open to dating guys. And
got
then he
it.
Said he actively has like threesomes with his guy friends.
Okay, per.
So, you know, he's fluid. And so Jeff tried to shoot his shot and was sad that Harry left him on red.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
How's your dating life, Zach?
Dismal. No, I mean, I've gone on a couple dates recently.
You got a guy to come from San Diego.
I got a guy to come from San Diego. Originated from speed dating.
Okay. I have never speed dated.
You need to do it.
Wait, it's should I go with you?
So fun.
Oh, how do I do it?
It's so fun.
How do you sign up?
They have events like all the time.
Like, how do I find it though?
I think they have them on like Eventbrite. There's one company, I think it's called My Cheeky Date. They do it all the time. And they always invite me to come do it. They would invite you and like have you come.
Wait, Disaster Dates needs to host.
Jeff and I were just talking about
dating.
That. We want to do a speed dating event.
I will absolutely go.
Okay. We want to host a speed dating event. Because it's so fun. Instead of going on like one shitty 1 hour date, you can go on like 12 dates and you like because you can within 2 minutes of like chatting with somebody, you know whether you're attracted to them, you know whether you have chemistry, you know whether there's, you know, a connection. And like some people need a little more time, but like for the most part, when you know, I just like the efficiency of it, you know?
I agree because my biggest struggle when it comes to dating is how much time it wastes.
Yeah.
Particularly with the apps.
Because think about with 12 people. That's 12 different nights that you have to go out.
Yeah. And 12 different 3 hour increments.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Plus, whereas, not even the hour I get ready.
Yeah. And think about it. Sometimes you end up going on a date with somebody and you know right away, oh, this is not going to go anywhere. But you have to sit there and finish
the
drink.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I love speed dating.
Wait,
big fan.
Please do a disaster. You need to do it for the gays and the straights.
We're talking about it. And I think we're going to do it.
Because like, I would, if you set it up, I would absolutely go.
Okay. I think we're going to do it.
And I would bring my single girlfriends.
I think this will be fun. And we just need like a good collection of quality people.
Yeah.
And yeah. Well, I was just on Jeff Lewis Live and he was telling me that he took all of his crew to go speed dating.
That's hilarious.
And they were trying to compete to see who can get the most matches.
Have you ever, what do you mean matches?
Well, because you speed date and then you rate each person that you go on a date with and then you decide like whether you connected with them or didn't connect with them.
So it's like I either swipe right or swipe left.
Correct.
Kind of thing. Okay. And do you do it right after you meet them?
Yep. And then that goes to
and
like
do you
the
see
host.
What they say about you?
No. That goes to the host. The host sees all of that and then they determine the matches.
Wait, this is cool.
And then you get matched up with people. If you're both on the same page that you both liked each other, then the host will connect you and you get to match.
How
and
did that's they connect how it, you?
Via email. And so that's how I matched with the guy from San Diego. Hot guy, active Navy, lives
hot.
In San Diego, so hot. And just like he was the hottest guy in the room that night. And I was like, there's no way he's matching with me. And then I was so, there were, you normally by the end of it, pick five, your top five. Like it's MySpace. And you're
and
like,
do you rank them? Like this is my number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then based off of those five that you submit, if those five also match with you too, then you get connected. And I remember that night I was like, I didn't really connect with anybody. But these two, you know, I had somewhat of a connection with, and these were the two hottest guys in the room. And to my surprise, I connected with both of them. One of them was a fuckboy and one of them was the Navy guy. And he was very sweet. He drove down from San Diego to come see me for a real date. I took him to one of my favorite spots in downtown.
Where'd you go?
Caracara.
I've never been there.
You've never been to Caracara? The rooftop at the proper hotel.
Oh, yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been at the top of the proper.
Yeah, it's
I didn't
Cuba.
Know that's what the restaurant
It's called Caracara. It's one of my favorite spots because it's like very close to me. I'm not going to say how close, but it's very close to me. And it's got a good vibe. You're not like right in the center. You're not like at LA Live. It's got a cute view and just it's got like an intimate vibe that I'm here for.
Uh-huh.
So we met there for dinner, which was a very bold move. But I'm like, he's driving from San Diego. I might as well commit to a dinner.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I got us tickets to the ballet afterwards. And I was like, oh, I've never been to the ballet. I didn't take you as a ballet kind of guy. I'm not a ballet kind of guy. But you know what?
Wait, that's really cute.
We went to the ballet that night.
And how was it?
It was fine.
Did you catch a vibe with him?
Yeah. He came back to my apartment. We sat by the fire, drank tequila, made out, had a good time.
And have you seen him since?
He lives in San Diego.
Oh. Do you guys chit chat over text?
Occasionally we'll text.
Okay.
But like I think we both know like he's in San Diego, I'm in LA, he's active Navy. Like it's just not compatibility wise, I don't think it would work. But mm-hmm. we had a really good time.
Mm-hmm. When you're speed dating, how long are you talking to the person?
Like 2 minutes.
So
it's relatively quick.
Are there topics you're supposed to hit or is it just like a free for all?
Free for all.
So what do you say when you sit down? Like if we were on a speed date, what would happen?
Normally it'd be like, oh, okay, so what brought you out tonight?
Okay. And I would be like, well, my friend brought me, blah, 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 blah.
Single and sad, yeah.
Yeah, single and sad.
And then you'd be like, so what brought you out tonight? Oh, what part of town are you in? What do you do for work? You know, what are your red flags?
Okay, so it's very like heavy on the dating. Like, what are you into? What are you?
Yeah, well, I mean, you only have 2 minutes to get to know this person. So, you know, sometimes if I'm like not really into them, as soon as they sit down, I'm like, okay, so who here are you planning on fucking tonight?
Interesting. And you don't know who it is before you get there, right?
Well, we're
a group
all,
of people.
You all see each other when you get there.
Okay, but you don't know beforehand. Like it's
no.
just okay.
It's just whoever signs up for that night. So you have no idea who's going to be there. Sometimes, you know, I'll push the limits with them and I'll be like, so who are your top three right now?
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's like a game.
Yeah.
This is crazy. I really want to do this.
It's so fun.
Please host one.
I want to. I've done it like 5 times now and they keep inviting me and I haven't gone back. But I like went on like a dating strike recently, but I've started to get back into it.
Disaster Dates needs to host that.
We were just having this conversation and we really want to do it.
Because I feel like our generation, like it's so rare. It's all about the apps now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to get off the freaking app and like make, I want to connect with someone off the app.
Yep.
And it's hard.
It is because most people don't want to get off the apps.
Yeah.
The other hard part too is like, getting somebody motivated enough to come as a single to go to a dating event by themselves. That like usually if you bring a friend and stuff, like that's a little different. But I don't know. I love the idea of speed. To me, I'm just all about the efficiency of it.
Do you have any insane dating stories?
Oh, so many.
Can you share one of them with us?
I mean, well, you know about the little person that I hooked up with. There was also this.
So you actually hooked up?
We started to. So this is what got lost in the story. There was no penetration and there was no like we had started a hookup. And then I think he sensed that I was like not like there wasn't a vibe there. And he like left very angrily because he's like, why would you drag me out here? I was like, well, why didn't you tell me you were a little person? Fair.
Fair.
Yeah.
OK,
totally.
What's another story?
There was this retired porn star that I was hanging out with.
How did you know?
Because he told. So he shows up at my apartment for a drink.
Is this from an app?
Yes. Okay. Shows up at my apartment and, you know, we were going to have a drink, but he has a tote bag with him. And I'm just like, why do you have a tote bag? Like, what, did you go grocery shopping?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening? And he's like, oh, no, I brought my computer. And I was like, oh, what, do you want to go downstairs and catch some emails at Starbucks? Like, what did you bring your computer for? He's like, oh, I thought we could watch some porn. And I was just like,
wait, that's I can't even imagine a guy doing that to me. I'd be like, absolutely not.
I was like, first of all, I have Wi-Fi and
nice
a computer.
To meet you?
Yeah, I have Wi-Fi and a computer if we wanted to do that. Like, you don't need to bring your own equipment.
This is a first date. Your own equipment.
I was just like, what? And then it was a fucking PC, which is offensive. Thank you. I had to check. I looked at your computer. I was like, wait, does she have a PC?
Red flag.
Such a red flag.
Android user. Red flag.
I said that on Jeff
Green
Lewis.
Text.
I said that on Jeff Lewis Live because there was one of his engineers that was texting and he had an Android. And I was like, oh, that's a red flag. Swipe
it
left.
Is.
It's such a red. It's green so unattractive with the green. Exactly.
It ruins a group chat.
Yeah. It ruins the group chat. Oh, God.
And then it says like they'll get my text. It'll be like, so-and-so liked your message.
That's
like,
the worst. I don't want, like,
I couldn't date someone that has green bubbles. Like,
no.
I couldn't date an Android user.
And
literally.
Like, the cameras are better. Fuck off. That's what FaceApp is for.
Also, get a camera.
Yeah.
Hello, Canon, Nikon. Like,
also, have you ever taken a picture with an Android? Like, when people, like, give their phone so you can take a picture with the Android, like, it's the slowest transaction ever. It's so confusing, and it takes forever for the and the
it
photo.
Does. It's like pixelated.
Oh, I'm like, it's not even worth the camera quality.
The camera argument's insane because I'm like, get a camera.
Yeah. If you want a camera, then get a camera.
Get a digital SLR.
And also, how important are you that you need to be taking such high quality photos? Like, what are you, a photographer? You don't need to take a photo with your iPhone.
It's an insane argument.
Like, come on, you play Call of Duty and live with your mom. You don't need that good of a camera. But they're like, but the customization. What are you customizing? For what? I'm lucky if I change my phone screen, okay?
Yeah, like, what are they customizing?
Which, by the way, I got the octopusy because you told me to.
Do you like it?
I do.
You love it.
I do. I can just
stick
it everywhere.
I love my octopusy. Yeah, the Android thing, that would be an actual deal breaker for me. I couldn't date an Android user.
Hard no. But so homeboy shows up with his PC, offensive. And then he's like, so should we watch some porn? And at that point, I was kind of like, sure. And then I was like, well, what are you into?
What was your actual reaction, though? Were you like, this guy's crazy?
In my head, I was like, this is not going to go anywhere. But he was like, he was cute and he was kind of charming. He was like kind of shy, you know? So I was like, okay, like maybe there's some potential, like maybe a glass of wine and like whatever, you know? And then I'm like, okay, so what kind of porn do you like? I didn't let him use his PC because that's offensive. And so I was like, so what kind of porn do you like? He's like, oh, you know, I'm pretty open to anything. And I was like, okay. He's like, you know, I used to do porn. And I was like, oh. And he's like, yeah, back in the day. And I was like, not anymore. He's like, no, I've retired those days. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, actually, now that you mention it, that's the kind of porn that I want to watch. I want to see you. Like, can we do a viewing party?
Of course you have to.
Right? Like, you can't bring that up and then not expect it. And I was like, totally. Wait, are you on OnlyFans now? He's like, no, I've let go of that part of my life. And I was like, okay, right, because now you just have a PC. and so you've given up in life. And so he then goes and pulls up his old school porn.
How long ago was this? Like, could you tell it was a long time ago? Or
I mean, it was pretty, like, 2002, you know?
Oh, okay.
I was like, okay. And so we're watching it, and then I'm like, first of all, I don't like porn. I'm not somebody that's into porn. But so we're watching it, and I'm kind of just sitting there. And at this point, I was like, I'm committed. We're doing it for the plot. Like, I'm committing to this for the story to see where this goes.
I mean, yeah.
You know? And so we're watching it, and I'm like, so does this turn you on? And he's just like, not really. And I was like, why not? Like, it's you. Like, were you not enjoying that? And he's like, eh.
The porn you were watching, was he with a woman or with a man?
It was a man. I want to say, yeah, it was like a daddy porn.
Okay.
And so he was the younger guy in that scenario. And so.
And did you find it attractive?
No. Because I don't find porn. I think porn is so manufactured that especially 2002 porn, it's just like, I'm the pizza delivery man. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Thank you. When do you ever find the pizza delivery man is so hot that you want to bang him? Like, come on. Like, it's not even realistic. And then he happens to have his buddy in the car.
Yeah.
If he's sitting in the passenger side of his best friend's ride, he's a scrub. And so we were watching it, and he was just not, like, he wasn't into it, and I wasn't into it. And he's like, you know, I think what would really help. I was like, what? He's like, you know, I should probably take some Viagra. And I was like, First of all, I am Viagra. You should not need anything else to get hard. You should just look at me. And he was like, but it's okay. I have a friend. And I was like, okay. He's like, that can get us some. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, this is starting to feel like a drug deal. And he's like, I can call him, but he lives in Hermosa Beach. And it's going to take about 45 minutes to get there. Or I can have him deliver it, but it'll take about 45 minutes. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you're not staying here for 45 minutes. Like, we're wrapping this up in like the next 10 minutes. And so he's like, I can call him. And I was like, okay. And then he goes and he's like on the phone. And I wasn't really paying attention to his call because at that point I'm texting my friends. I'm like, you will not believe
what
the fuck
is
going on right now.
You're like, this is insane.
Right now. Here's my location, even though it was my apartment, in case I go missing. Yeah. This is the last place I was found. And so eventually he's like, oh, okay, I'm going to go meet my friend in Hermosa Beach. And I was like, okay, great. And so he picked up his PC because I wasn't going to let him leave that piece of junk here. And he left and I locked the door and blocked his number.
Rightfully so.
Exactly.
You know what's kind of crazy is him knowing how like the porn industry works and like the filming of it all and like the production of it all. It's really interesting to me that he would want to watch that or like just because he knows how it was made.
That's a good point that I didn't even think about.
Like, because a lot of men are so dumb. They're like, oh, this is so realistic.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, he out of all people knows the like the lighting of it all, the editing of it all, the producing of it all.
I once went on a date with a porn director. And he was telling me about all that. He's like, it's not attractive. He's like, you have to take
like sex
18 shots of the same shot. Like, and it's like,
it's like normal filming.
They're exhausted by the end of it, but they have to keep pretending. And like, that's why it looks so fake is because it's like at that point, it's their 18th shot and they're fucking tired.
Yeah. But that shocks me. He would want.
I
agree. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I guess that's why he's retired now.
I guess so. Yeah.
But he still enjoys watching it. I was like, okay.
That's a crazy thing to bring up. Is that like, that's not normal, right?
Well, I don't know. I was talking to Jeff about that and he's just like, yeah, people like to watch porn during sex. I'm like, I think that's weird. But then there are also like a lot of gay bars that you go to and they're like plain porn.
Yeah, literally. But like on the first date, that's absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like whatever you want to do when you're dating someone, I'm like,
listen,
do your thing.
In LA, the people we come, especially on apps, like you don't, this way speed dating is good. You can tell whether or not they're crazy.
Agreed.
Within the first 2 minutes.
Okay, well, I'm literally begging you and Jeff to set it up.
We're going to do it. We'll set it up.
You have to do it. And you have to do it for the straights, too.
Yes. I mean, we can just do one night where half is the gay guys and half is the straights.
And I'll bring my straight and gay friends.
There we go. And then
Jeff. Because I have a ton of them and they're all
single.
Jeff
can host one side and I'll host the other side and then we can switch it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll see how many matches we can make by the end of the night.
I like where this is going. I will literally help you facilitate the straight side of things.
I'm here for it. I'm very much a fan
anyway,
of this idea.
Okay, Zach, this has been such a pleasure learning about your career and your take on all the housewives and your insane dating stories.
Oh, man.
Where can people tune in to listen to more of your insane dating stories?
It's a new podcast called Dating Disasters. You can listen to it on all of your favorite podcast apps, or you can watch it exclusively on Spotify. It's called Disaster Daters. It's me and my friend Jeff Epstein. That is his real name. He has not changed it because he can't afford to. So please listen to the podcast so we can hopefully get him some money to change his name.
I mean, it's like insane.
Yeah. But you were on Disaster Daters. We occasionally have guests or we'll just kind of exploit our own dating stories on the show. People will send in stories that we'll recap, which is wild. Mm-hmm. And then I host No Filter with Zach Peter, which is pop culture, entertainment news, mostly like reality TV, housewife stuff. Mm-hmm. So if you're into all of that, you can stay up to date with No Filter.
And where can they follow you on Instagram and TikTok and stuff?
Just Plain Zach. All over the internet is my handle. Just Plain Zach. Three words. All is one word. Just Plain Zach. Z-A-C-K. And the podcast handle is at No Filter with Zach. So if you just want the tea, then you can follow No Filter with Zach. And if you want me, then you can follow Just Plain Zach.
No Filter with Zach has the tea. I really enjoy that Instagram.
It is.
Do you run all of your accounts?
I do.
It's impressive.
That's one way to put it. It's crazy.
Anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Be sure to make someone else's day this week, you guys, and follow us on everything. We love you so much. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.